He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
From Washington, D.C. to Rochester, New York, to Pensacola, Florida, to Austin, Texas, to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to the big redwoods of Northern California, we're on the AM and FM dial. The show is exploding and growing. We talk about the facts, the reality of the criminal elite. We simulcast on global shortwave during the day from 11 to 2 Central at 12.172 and 9320, and from 9 to midnight Central at 5.085 and 6890, and of course at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Tomorrow we have Big Jim Tucker from American Free Press, who's been covering the Bilderberg Group for over 25 years, joining us. He just got back from Versailles, where the power elite were meeting, carving up the world. And we're joined by one of the other premier researchers, long-term researchers, Tony Gosling, who just got back from France. And he has worked as a documentary maker. He has worked for BBC. He is currently the Bristol branch secretary of the National Union of Journalists in England. And he just got back. There was absolutely no news in France about this, other than the indie media sites, and he said there was just under 10 independent journalists that were there covering it. So to talk about the Bilderberg Group, the history of it, his adventures, what happened this year, and what they may have gotten out from the people inside the hotel, which they normally do, we're joined by Tony Gosling from the United Kingdom. Again, Tony, thanks for coming on.
No problem. I really have to hand it to Jim, I have to say, because there's no way that we would be able to cover this conference, really, without Jim's work, because he's one of the only people on Earth that manages to winkle out where these guys are going to be meeting. And so full respect to Jim Tucker.
Absolutely. I mean, and he was covering it when nobody'd heard of it 20-something years ago.
I'm surprised there's not more interest in Europe as well about the Bilderberg Group, because it clearly has an important role in pushing forward the latest European policies, pan-European policies. And, of course, they're now starting to talk about in Europe about the United States of Europe for the first time, quite openly in the Daily Telegraph on the flight on the way over to Versailles this year. It was an article about Tony Blair as having a few problems in creating his wonderful United States of Europe.
And they're also taking a lot of people's liberties inside this system. They're getting rid of juries. They're getting rid of free speech. They're saying that people have to accept genetically modified food, destroy the food chain and local control. It's all about monopoly of power. Until about 3 years ago, I never saw mainstream articles about it, other than American Free Press and your website.
And it's starting to the mainstream, some of the mainstream, at least independent mainstream, and it was really quite a perfect example, because there was nobody from the big corporate, the big newspapers that are controlled by these multinational media corporations.
Now, about 3 years ago, Reuters did have an article where it did talk about Bilderberg Group and the kings and queens and the bankers that were there. Did that shock you, and why do you think Reuters reported that?
Well, often, you see, this stuff is put on Reuters in the knowledge that it's not going to be transmitted elsewhere, that the people, the editors, et cetera, that received the Reuters service will read it and they will understand, because there is only information released to the press after the meeting's taken place. So, of course, there's no real opportunity for any critical comment of the people inside.
All right, briefly,
even though they release this this document called a press release every year, it's surprising, because it as you'd expect that something on a press release would, and it usually is designed for public consumption. After the first page of the press release, it says strictly confidential, and then it follows a list of the participants at the meeting. So although they're quite happy to say after the event to the press that this has just taken place. And only to the mainstream press, by the way. I mean, I've requested a press release this year and received nothing at all from them, not even the basic text. The fight goes on to find out exactly what these things are all about. This year, one of the big things they've been talking about is the European army. That definitely was on the agenda this year. There's attempts, of course, if you're trying to forge a political union in Europe, one of the main things is to make sure the military are all talking to each other, because there's been, in the past, quite a lot of disputes. So this is something which is definitely on the agenda at Bilderberg. The other thing this year we found out was that they were definitely, I mean, as you'd expect, talking about post-Iraq Middle East, although they call it the Middle East post-terrorism. And I wonder, is that the terrorism of the United States and, the, and Great Britain they're talking about? Or is it, you know, terrorists in Iraq? I mean, this is all confusing language, and they're starting to get to the edge of what is credible.
Now, Tony Gosling, again, former BBC reporter, documentary maker, Bristol Branch, Secretary of the National Union of Journalists, the website Bilderberg.org. We have a link to it on Infowars.com. I've got a list of questions here for you.
Go for it, yeah.
I want to, number one, talk about the history of Bilderberg Group. Then I want to talk about who was attending this year, the experiences you had trying to cover it there on the ground, some of the other journalists that were there. I also want to talk about how you're saying, you know, this European power elite, only a few hundred people attend, obviously, higher up than CFR or Trilateral Commission, but you have the same leaders of those groups that are members there. Also, as the Reuters story said, that there's a grooming of prime ministers and presidents, even in the U.S. and England, and that presidential hopefuls go and present themselves to these people. We have leaders of the Senate that go. They sign these non-disclosure agreements. They meet with the royalty and all these people. So I also want to point out that there's obvious policy making for the United States. But first off, history of the Bilderberg Group, the folks that attend, and what you saw in your experience there in Versailles this year.
Well, that's lots of different questions all rolled into one. But first of all, the history. It started in 1954. It was begun by two characters, one very open, the other one a bit kind of in the shadows. The guy in the shadows was Joseph Rettinger. He was purported to be, or at least quite possibly, was an agent of MI6. It came out in a book about 2 years ago that he had been working for MI6. That's the British Foreign Intelligence Service. And he's not a lot is known about him, although there is some information on my website about his involvement in starting Bilderberg. But the one who's a real high-profile character is Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. And, of course, his daughter, Beatrix, was there, got very close to her, actually, this time at this latest Bilderberg meeting in Versailles. So Bernhard started it. He's an interesting character, Bernhard, because he's both before and after he started the Bilderberg had some really disastrous things happen to him which throw a lot of doubt over his integrity. First of all, his membership before the US entered the World War II of the SS, the German SS. He then left Germany afterwards and married into the Dutch royal family, but he was in Hitler's feared SS during the war. This is the guy that started the group off. And the irony is, of course, that they will tell us that the group is one of the reasons for the group is to stop the next or to stop any other possible Hitler surfacing in the future. Now, I would have thought one of the worst people to start an organization dedicated to that task was someone who'd been in Hitler's SS. Anyway, that's what he did back in 1954. He got the first meeting together, and he was chairman of Bilderberg, and he kind of presided over the meetings up until 1975, where there was a massive scandal involving the prince. He was discovered to have he was discovered to have taken $1 million bribe from Lockheed to get the Dutch government to buy the Starfighter aircraft. And there was evidence that first of all, he denied it, but then there's some evidence came to light that it's a piece of scribbled notepaper written by the prince, which explained, yes, he had actually taken $1 million bribe, and he'd laundered it through some charity that he was involved with. And so this completely discredited the prince for good, really, in Holland, and he's still not taken all that seriously by
the
people.
We also have Kurt Waldheim, the Nazi, running the UN from 72 to 82 as their secretary general. So we see this system being peopled by basically Krump agents. And we also have the prince, who would be the king, in Germany during the war, and the British crown running back to Franco-fascist Spain. So lots of Nazis running around.
Well, the king and queen of Spain were at this latest Bilderberg meeting. I don't know. I haven't seen the list. I hope they're both on the list. But
Juan
we definitely
Carlos.
Saw them. We spotted them. Have you seen the list this year, Alex?
No, but...
Has anyone managed to get you a copy? I think as many people as possible be really good to phone up the Bilderberg office. Their phone number is on my website, and maybe leave a message saying, please, could we have a list of people who attended? Because this is the first year so far that they've refused to send me the list. Normally, I publish the list after the meeting, and then one would have thought that there's no reason, there's no security reason why they can't now send me a list of people who were there.
But you were there.
But they have
decided
not to.
Sir, you were there this year, and we're going to talk about that and how you got close to Queen Beatrix, but... the thing I wanted to cover here was this Asia Times article. Pepe Escobar wrote an article about Masters of the Universe, about the Prince of Darkness, as they call him, Richard Pearl and Donald Rumsfeld, at the meeting as well. These are current members of the administration. Can you confirm that?
Well, certainly I can confirm Richard Pearl. I definitely saw him, and I put a picture of him up on my web pages. But Rumsfeld, I'm not sure about, I'm afraid. The list of people who attend is a kind of a flaky affair, because you're never quite sure if the people who have turned up are going to be on the list, especially if they're only there for one afternoon or something. For example, there were very strong rumours that Chirac was turning up. In fact, a helicopter, especially quiet helicopter, appeared early on Saturday morning and then disappeared later on in the day from the area of the hotel. So there seemed to be some evidence, and also from staff inside the hotel telling us that Chirac was due. So yes, there's all sorts of people that maybe are there and maybe aren't. So we have to kind of guess. When we get the list, at least there's a chance something to go on. But at the moment, we've got no list at all.
Now, we're talking to Tony Gosling, Bilderberg.org, premier website exposing this. We got Jim Tucker coming on tomorrow. We'll talk about some of your other experiences while you were there. But a question I have when we get back, Jim Tucker, last year at the last meeting, said, no, the invasion is not in 2002, like the media is saying, is for sure. It's going to be in February or March. And then that, of course, happened. He said he saw Arab leaders there, which he never sees showing this. So we'll talk about that and how Jim Tucker, and do you use the same tactics, talks to people around the hotel before, gets the staff to leak key information after they see how evil these people are. We'll talk about it on the other side when we get back with our guests covering Bilderberg Group.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're talking to veteran journalist, documentary maker, BBC reporter, Tony Gosling from the United Kingdom. He now is the Bristol branch secretary of the National Union of Journalists and does a lot of work. Bilderberg.org is the website. You can link through at Infowars.com if you'd like. Tony, you've got the floor. I mean, you're the expert in the Bilderberg Group more than I am. I just hear the stories from Jim and read his articles that later turn out to be very accurate, how he'll go to the hotel days before, check in before they kick him out, tell the employees, give me information on these people. They refuse. When they see how mean and evil these people are, they then come to him and give him the information. He's really gotten vital intel showing these guys are steering much of the world's apparatus. This is a very high-level elite group, but can you talk about some of the reportage in the past?
It's interesting you're using the term of vile and evil, Alex, because one of the opportunities I had this time in Versailles on the Saturday, if you can imagine, the hotel is probably the most extravagant hotel in Paris, on the edge of Paris in a beautiful suburb. The entire hotel was surrounded by two cordons of the French CRS, that's the riot police, obviously expecting, because they had riot police there, we were expecting maybe some demonstrators, but no demonstrators appeared. Anyway, on the Saturday, after lunch, the Bilderbergers decided that there was obviously maybe they'd been having too many heated discussions, but then decided to go for a little kind of tourist ride up to the actual Palace of Versailles, which is just literally a stone's throw away around the corner from the hotel that they were staying in. And that gave us the opportunity to get pictures of a lot of them. Obviously, that's one of the things that they try and make sure that nobody knows who's in there before the end of the conference, before they give out their official so-called press release to the mainstream press. Incidentally, the BBC have got a copy of this, and I phoned them up earlier on asking them to get hold of it. And because they're doing a documentary, they're going to keep it quiet. They're doing the first, as far as I know, BBC documentary on the Bilderberg meetings on the 3rd of July this year. We got the opportunity to meet some of the Bilderbergers, even have a little chat with them. I was quite surprised. One of the Norwegian photographers there said, hey, look, there's a couple of American guys. They look like Bilderbergers, because they were wearing the kind of suits, whereas most of the people around the palace were kind of tourists. But tourists were all taken by surprise as all these quick kings and queens and stuff suddenly turned up to do a little tour of the palace. And walking through the park, or just down back to the hotel, was David Rockefeller and his bodyguard. So I sort of shuffled up alongside and asked a few questions. And it's funny that, because you said these people are vile and evil, David actually came across as a very reasonable chap, and I was quite surprised. I was almost expecting him to be, look, I'm not talking to the press, etc., but he seemed quite happy to have a bit of a chat about some of the things that go on inside the conference.
Sir, who's that lord who John Ronson interviews and he starts yelling and cussing
Lord
at
Healy,
him?
Yes, Lord Healy.
I mean, that guy's like, you scum sucker, bleh. That's how Tucker says they act.
Well, no, I mean, that some of them do and some of them don't. But I think it seems that the inner circle really don't like to kind of get angry. It's only the one people on the outside and security associated with the people who are in the inner circle are quite calm. For example, I had a chat to Kenneth Clark. He just said, I'm sorry, I can't talk about what's going on. And did seem reasonably reasonable. I just don't like to paint these people as evil, because they are human beings, and if we're going to going to reach them in any way and persuade them to take on some of the subjects in the world which we want them to take on, if we demonize them, they're never going to listen.
Well, I mean, they demonize the Patriot movement, they demonize those that fight them, they have their media put out reports that they don't exist and crazies think they do, and are evil, and I'm going off what Tucker says, that the staff will never talk to him, but after the Bilderberg groups is so mean to him that they will talk to him. That's what Tucker has said.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, some of the people in the group are, and certainly the security are over. I mean, for example, I was taking photographs of some of them in this kind of buggy as they were leaving. They had to wait. It was quite amusing, really, because they had to wait for about 5 or 10 minutes, about 100 Bilderbergs, 90 or so Bilderbergs, outside the palace. They had to wait for 5 or 6 of the women who were with the party to finish shopping in the gift shop. And, of course, they were very embarrassed because they didn't really want photographs taken anywhere. And the fact that they had to wait for the women in the gift shop was almost brought the whole occasion down to earth, you know. That even if they are the richest and most powerful people in the world, they still have problems with, people taking too long in the gift shop.
All right. We'll take some calls when we get back. Any other points you want to hit on, Tony Gosling? I want to talk about what they were discussing in there, how you got the information, what Jim says that he's gotten if he told you. It's all coming up after this quick break. By the way, we have Jim Tucker's articles on InfoWars.com. We have a link to Bilderberg.org as well with Tony Gosling, our guest. So stay with us. Toll-free number to join us on air, 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Contact Video Network and the Econo Village Network UK, Bristol Branch Secretary of the National Union of Journalists. His website is Bilderberg.org. He's covered many of the conferences. Obviously, no one has covered more than Jim Tucker, who's joining us tomorrow. And we're going to take some calls coming up here in a few minutes. If you have any questions about the Bilderberg Group or about the things that he saw or when he talked to Queen Beatrix or David Rockefeller, because I guess that they had all their black ski mask riot police out, the Darth Vader's protecting them, the big crowds didn't show up to protest, so They decided to amble on down, I guess, in the middle of the conference to the Palace of Versailles next door from their five-star hotel. And get a chance to talk to him. I want to explore that more, and then we'll get to some of your calls at 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. You say you talked to David Rockefeller. What were the questions you asked him and his bodyguard? What responses you get? You say you got a chance to talk to some of the others, Queen Beatrix. Tell us about that, please.
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to Beatrix, although she was very close by. She was with a kind of whole gaggle of Bilderbergs who were visiting the hotel.
But okay, who did you get a chance to talk to then? I misunderstood.
Yeah, David Rockefeller. The first thing I asked him was about the press conference. I said, really, you know, why don't you have a press conference? And he didn't actually answer the question. And then I pressed him a bit more, he said, "We don't really have enough, a lot of important things we're talking about in there." And he kind of, and I expressed my incredulity about that, and explained to him that, you know, I think that what they're discussing is the exchanges about the state of the world, and that these are subjects which everyone on Earth has an interest in, and there are a lot of views which just simply aren't represented at Bilderberg. You see, they always say that they have a consensus. That consensus is a totally artificial consensus because they make sure that it's only people who are really already in one way or another into the United States of Europe or the European-American project, the war on terrorism and all this kind of stuff. So it's a completely artificial consensus. So I pressed him on the idea of having a press conference, and he said he didn't think it was a good idea. And I said, well, all the time that you refuse to have a press conference, all the press about you is going to be bad. So you really better think about having one next year. So, I mean, this is one of the main reasons that I decided to put up the information on the internet, is because I think it's important, not necessarily that we know everything about what goes on inside, but at least that there's an acknowledgement that this is an important meeting and that there's some response to the press rather than the brick wall.
Tony, you have all these big industrialists, all the big bankers, the British, the Dutch royalty, showing up. You've got Richard Pearl, who you say you saw. The Asian Times says that they saw Donald Rumsfeld. They're all meeting. We've gotten the minutes of their meetings and the list before and what they've talked about before. It's always massive shifts in the world. They really are setting much of the agenda. We know that. So the first thing out of Rockefeller's mouth then was a lie. And you may not say that as a journalist, but I will. And look at this quote by David Rockefeller. I say he's evil because of quotes like this, and I have the New York Times article, August 10th, 1973, about the death of Mao Zedong. Whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded not only in producing more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering high morale and community of purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. David Rockefeller's statement in 73 about Mao Zedong, New York Times, August 10th, 73. So, you know, that's evil. And David Rockefeller is a globalist whose policies are set up to destroy America. We know the Carnegie Endowment's doing that. We know what these people are about, and I'll say it.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, of course, is that they say that they invite Russians as well, and you're quite right, the Carnegie Endowment are the people that come, which, of course, is an American organization. But they're not, I mean, even though they try and make out that their borders aren't just NATO, European Union, and Canada, these most powerful of the Western countries, I would imagine, you know, for many people outside the Western world, they're very, very interested in what's going on at these meetings, because clearly there's the agenda setters. And what I always say is that here we have a group of people who are able to do almost more than anyone else to relieve problems like debt in the developing world that is literally killing millions of people. And, of course, it's not even on the agenda. So that was the next thing I brought up with David, was saying, look, why can't you have debt relief up on the agenda? It's one of the most important meetings in the world that actually could do something about this, so bring it on the agenda. And again, he just sort of gave me a bit of an anodyne reply, saying, well, this isn't the kind of thing we normally talk about, and, you know, well, no excuse, really.
They don't talk about international banking and the debt with third world countries, sure.
I mean, it's one of the things that definitely should be on the agenda.
Now, Big Jim Tucker has said that in his articles that this is illegal because of our laws in this country to have public officials in secret meetings with private institutions. He says it's illegal.
Well, has there been any prosecutions? I'd like to see a test case. I mean, that would be very interesting.
Well,
also, in the European, I've only just found out today that there were questions asked about Bilderberg in the European Parliament at the end of last month. They had to admit that there were going to be three of the European commissioners. Now, I don't know how well Americans know how the European structures work, but basically Europe is being run now by a commission of appointed people. None of them are elected. Nobody can elect them out of office, even if they turn into tyrants.
Well, this
is a serious problem over in Europe of actually raising consciousness, and maybe in the States as well, to make people realize that this is a totally appointed body. And the laughable thing is that most of the commissioners, if not all of the commissioners, certainly all the ones I know from the UK, have been failed politicians that people have voted out. And now they're then promoted to an invulnerable position of running Europe as part of the European government.
Well,
in fact, Romano Prodi, who's the chairman of the European Commission, hasn't been elected, and secondly, he's been asked questions about what is your involvement with Bilderberg, and who is paying your expenses to go, what position are you going under, and he had to admit that there were several of the commissioners coming over.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make here, is that whether it's regionalism in this country, you'll have the states and regional groupings.
Yeah.
You have an unelected board running things.
Well,
you'll
we're already talking about Romano Prodi as
let
the
me just
president
finish this
of
real
Europe.
Quick. Let me just finish this real quick, Tony, because this regionalism, we have counties that are in regional government with unelected people. We have the states. We have the federal government. We have this system. And now you talk about the EU, where they won't even allow people to have votes on referendums.
Yeah, this guy who's never been voted in is now being talked about as the president of Europe. In fact, he's another failed politician. It just seems to me as if the people who are running, certainly the Bilderbergs and the people who are running Europe, are really poking one in the eye to the public. You know,
so
they're really just taking the mickey out of the public.
It's dictatorship on the face of it, sir. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, well, at least it has the potential for that. I don't think it's quite got that bad right now.
Oh, really?
But, I mean, we need to always have checks and balances in our politics to make sure that we can get.
Well, you've got the presidency, and it's going to be appointed, and they're getting rid of juries and getting rid of rights and passing thought crime laws. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, certainly. So it's certainly frightening when you look at Hitler's dream, Fortress Europe. You know, now it's kind of almost as if it's all happening all over again.
Now, I know, Tony Gosling, you've got other key points you want to add. We've been so honored to have you. We've got some callers that want to talk to you about these issues.
Can I just finish by saying a little bit about my website and about what I've decided to do with it?
Sure. We'll discuss that, and then we've got to go straight to these calls.
Okay, very quickly.
Hold on, Tony.
I mean, after this year, this is the only second Bilderberg meeting I've actually been to. Most I've been covering from my office. Just sort of taking information and putting them up. But after this meeting, I really made a decision that I was going to try and get to all meetings, as many as I could in the future, until they have a press conference. Even if it's on the last day, and there's a few people will be rolled out to talk to the press. Because this is the main thing I dislike about it, is their ability to completely close down the free press in France. It's really quite unnerving.
Does that include, Tony, their steering meetings that they have with leaders of our government?
I'm not sure. I mean, all I know is that when they have their annual conference, there is almost no coverage. And we heard this year that they have ordered a press blackout. So the fact that these people can just say, no, there will be no coverage, I find itself frightening.
Well, they also have the armies of governments generally are also there protecting them. Was that the case this year?
Well, there certainly seemed to be a lot of, I suppose you have to call Secret Service. We had watchers on us. I mean, the group of journalists that were there, five or six, we certainly wouldn't go off on our own because there were kind of got people wandering around with dark glasses. I mean, it really was like something out of a James Bond movie. These French people, at least we assume they were French, they didn't seem to like talking when we started going over and chatting with them. They just sort of walk off. They were watching us the whole time, so I think we have to assume that the French Secret Service were there.
Well, sir.
And certainly the Ministry of the Interior were asking all of the journalists who they didn't know, one reason or another, they didn't ask me, but for their press details, for their cards, and for their identification. The one thing I did all over the entire time is I refused to show my ID. I wasn't into that.
Well, you should be free to do that, but let me just add another point here. This is important. we've had journalists arrested, basically kidnapped out of their hotel rooms or off the street in the past. John Ronson has video of the dark cars with the men in sunglasses following him and Jim Tucker around. So we know this goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of the security was done by the French state. So, I mean, for them to say that it's a private meeting, I think, is really not credible at all. I mean, they seem to trot out a lot of these things, meeting to meeting, just saying that it's either it's a private meeting or that it's nothing to do with government. And then you see all these top government officials. For example, they had the Foreign Minister of France and the Home, I think they call Ministry of the Interior of France at the meeting. And of course it's involving the government.
Okay.
So they can't say it's a private meeting.
I want to also
some of the most powerful people in Europe in government positions there.
I want to talk about some of the information that you found out of what was being discussed inside Bilderberg, because that bodes for the next year. But right now, let's go to Ken in Texas. Ken, thanks for holding. You're on the air with our guest, Tony Gosling of Bilderberg.org. Go ahead.
Alex, I listen to your show all the time. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you, Ken. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, this Bilderberg group, they're one of several groups that have this sort of superhuman ability, and there's staffed or populated or whatever by, you know, people who are rich and have been throughout their lineage for generations, rich beyond the wildest dreams of your average person. And they have the power, if money equals power, you know, they have the power to do anything they want, send mercenaries out, cull and cultivate their own diplomats and, put people into office through fellowships and handpick the people they want to put through college and put in fraternities. And I don't know, I think it's really kind of frightening how untouchable these people seem to be.
Well, I can say that they're not untouchable. You can go up and shake one's hand if you want. In fact, a guy who's been a photographer at the Bilderberg meetings for quite a long time, Chris, who works for American Free Press, is now living in Germany. And he's always good fun. You know, he's always got a good sense of humor. And, you know, I think this is one of the ways to if you want Trump the Bilderbergers, is with humor, because what they do is kind of insane in a way. You know, to have all this massive security, two rings of French riot police keeping people about half a mile away from the hotel, and then on the Saturday to let everybody go out on a kind of little train ride into the park amongst the tourists, you know.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's
ridiculous, really.
I'm sure it, it thrills them to condescend to the average person every now and again, and, you know, I'm sure they feel like it's, you know, petting a puppy on the head or something. But yeah, I don't think these people have any kind of connection with what the average person goes through in their life. And
well, Ken, we've got Rockefeller telling Tony Gosling that, oh, we're not talking about anything serious in this meeting.
No, just bicycle parts and stuff. Yeah.
He's admitting that they have exchanges about the state of the world. But what he's saying is that this is something that's got to be private. You know,
yeah, but when you've got people that are so rich that they literally can, start new countries, lend money to everybody that's on any side of a war. These people, their power is so great. I don't even know that half the people at these Bilderberg meetings are even the upper echelon. I think they're just,
the gophers.
Yeah, appointed generals and gophers, exactly.
Was Henry Kissinger there, Tony?
Yeah, he was, although I didn't see him. I had a definite confirmation from a very trusted source inside the hotel that he was definitely there.
And what were some of the agendas they were discussing?
Well, as I mentioned before, they were talking about the European army, and they were talking about Iraq. But, they have issued an agenda summary. They say, and it usually is a pretty good indication of what's been being discussed. They say that they were looking at European-American relations, and in this context, Iraq, the Middle East after terrorism, non-proliferation. I mean, I would imagine that means North Korea, he says with a bit of a grim laugh. The European Convention, which, of course, I don't know if Americans have been following this, but we have a convention at the moment over a constitution for Europe, is really making sure that... the various European countries hand over sovereignty.
And in the middle of this, we've got Rumsfeld. In the middle of this, we've got Rumsfeld and Pearl running around.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not actually sure about Rumsfeld. I'd heard he was there, but didn't speak to anyone.
Well, this is out of
reliable
Asia Times.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm glad to hear. We can start to piece together a participant list, even though we don't have it publicly, from little bits of information that come from here and there. But really, ultimately, we really should have a list, an official list, from the Bilderbergs, and they're refusing to let me have it this
who
year.
Who were the independent reporters that were there? Did you see this reporter from the Times of... Asia.
No, didn't see him. There were people backwards and forwards the whole time. You see, in fact, one of the things I'd love to say to your listeners is it actually is a really interesting thing to come and do. I mean, even just a few, you know, sort of a little break away from the United States, unless it's in the U.S. The Bilderbergers always meet in really palatial, lovely, plush surroundings. So it's a kind of a bit of a you know, for me, visiting Versailles was a bit of a kind of a tourist visit as well as checking out the Bilderbergs. They always meet in lovely locations, so I would encourage anyone to come along to these meetings in the future. And, of course, everyone, including the journalists, the company, shares information.
Yeah, I snuck into Bohemian Grove. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think it's also, you know, it's also possible for ordinary members of the public. Some of the Parisians turned up and were really helpful. For example, doing things like translating between people who were working in the hotel and the journalists so we could understand what they were saying, because some of the staff of the hotel didn't speak English. And you get a kind of little collection of people at every Bilderberg conference, at least the ones that I've been to, who are all kind of helping each other, and it's a really almost like an alternative conference in a way.
All right.
I mean, we spent evenings in the hotel talking about September the 11th, comparing notes, really giving the BBC a hard time about their coverage of September the 11th, for example. And you end up with almost like an alternative conference at the venue.
All right, stay
around
right
the corner
there.
From the venue.
Stay right there, Tony Gosling. Thanks for the call, Ken. More calls coming up for our guests on the other side of this quick break at 800-259-9231. Tony Gosling, Bilderberg.org. We really appreciate him coming on. We've got some more time with him. I'm Alex Jones. My websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Be right back on the other side. More coming up. Stay with us. Hey, folks. I've studied the Bilderberg Group. I know who goes to it. I know their path. Nazis, war criminals, international bankers, people that love Lenin and Stalin and Mao. I've read their quotes here that are public. They want to enslave you and your family. They're a bunch of degenerate control freaks. Maybe some of them aren't pure evil. Maybe the minions are presidents that go, or presidential hopefuls that go to present themselves before them. Aren't pure evil, but once they get into this, they are. I'll say it. I'll tell it like it is. I've been to Bohemian Grove, folks. I've seen what they do, what they're about. We're talking to Tony Gosling, former BBC reporter, documentary producer, Bristol Branch Union Secretary, the National Union of Journalists, joining us. His website's Bilderberg.org. Be sure and visit Infowars.com, folks, and get my new film, Police State 3, Total Enslavement. It's now out. It is 2 hours and 37 minutes long. You want to know what these people are really about, what their crimes are, the terror attacks the globalists carry out, and what they're going to give you in the future. Go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Click on the shopping cart. Get the videos. Make copies for nonprofit, not for sale, educational purposes. Spread the word. Get my book, Descent into Tyranny. Find out the truth about 911. Get the information or call toll free to get the films at 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Don't procrastinate, ladies and gentlemen. Get the videos. Get them out to the people. Awaken the nation, the world, to this dehumanizing threat. Again, 888-253-3139 or Infowars.com or net. And I really enjoyed having Tony Gosling on. He'll be on with us a little bit into the next hour. Pam in Missouri, you're on with our guest. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, Pam.
It's good to talk to you. I just had to tell Mr. Gosling, is that it? He sounds like he really enjoys being with these people and et cetera, et cetera. I just have to tell him I wouldn't let these people in my home.
He is a gentleman, you know, he is from England. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I enjoy is the company of the other people who are also covering Bilderberg.
Well, that's
good.
Because,
you know, I didn't actually see anybody in the conference really hardly at all. We were very lucky on the Saturday. But, you know, it's really an experience of a bit of real journalism for
sure. You
better be careful because they sure can deceive you. And give them a message. They better read Zephaniah chapter 1. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think Pam listening may have heard you talk about the other conference and thought that she may have misheard or something, Tony.
Well, that's okay. It's just that, you know, I mean, I don't go along there just to, I think it is interesting when you go to these meetings with people who are so incredibly powerful, and they are very powerful, very rich people. But, you know, you do feel that the money also comes with the money a great deal of embarrassment because they have to hide all the time. They're winkled away in some kind of place where they can't be got out by the public. So if they have so much to hide, that immediately gets me worried, and I want to make sure that the information that is around on these people is the facts. We've got as much as we can of the facts, because I think one thing that always happens is that you get the kind of mixture of really wild conspiracy theory with fact, which then completely discredits the Bilderberg. And it was one of the reasons why mainstream journalists, you're talking about people writing for The Independent in this country, BBC people, etc., stay well clear of it when there's all this kind of crazy conspiracy theory as well.
Well, I mean, there's no crazy conspiracy theory about David
I'm talking about lizards. Yeah, people are seriously, you know, David Icke, for example, is seriously going around saying these people are lizards, which is, you know, it doesn't really help matters.
Well, yeah, what that does is it then discredits the whole, and I see what you're talking about there, Tony. We've only got one more segment with you. When we get back, I want to talk about, did Jim Tucker, he's coming on tomorrow, but did Jim give you any scoops that he got that you didn't get?
He's very generous, Jim. He makes sure that each evening in the hotel, we all sit down and share information together. So we know what's going on with Jim.
Well, I want to find out some of the things you learned from him and other journalists that were there and who some of the other folks that were there were. We haven't gotten to that point yet. 1 minute break. We'll be back with the third and final hour. I got a bunch of news after our guest leaves us and your calls. So stay with us. Third hour straight ahead.
Looking for a quality show.
Thank you.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Already in the third and final hour of this worldwide broadcast, more of your calls coming up. We've been talking about the Bilderberg Group for much of the last hour. With Tony Gosling for years. He's been covering Bilderberg Group, and he's been to several other conferences. He just got back from Versailles, France, and has been giving us a lot of interesting information from in and around the organization. Coming up, more on the bombings in Turkey and at Yale, out in Connecticut. We'll talk about the mad cow situation up in Canada. We'll talk about the military on highest domestic terror threat alert here domestically. A quake kills more than 640 in Algeria. We'll get into some of the police state news and how the Allies begin seizing weapons from most Iraqis, something Saddam didn't do. Tony Gosling is our last segment with you, and I appreciate you with us in the last hour. Any other key areas you want to hit on, and who were some of the other journalists were there, and what are some other tidbits of info you have for us from in and around the Bilderberg Group meeting?
Well, the other journalists who were covering the conference were, there was a newspaper from Norway, but the one thing that is the common between all of the journalists there is they're all from independents. It's funny because whenever someone turns up, we always quiz them, almost knowing what the answer is going to be, you know, say, oh, who owns your newspaper? And sometimes they have to think twice even, you know, oh, it's owned by this guy or this guy. And, of course, it's always either kind of rich entrepreneurs that have started their own newspaper or else their own radio station or whatever that cover it. So there's never anyone from any of the main, main networks of television, radio. But we were very lucky, I think, this time to have the BBC along because it seems like they're going to be doing something which is reasonably critical. At least taking some of the critical. For example, the fact that the Bilderberg was started by a card-carrying member of Hitler's SS is a point that often doesn't get dealt with in mainstream articles. So I'm really hoping the BBC are going to look at that and question the Bilderberg on it, because they have had interviews with some of the top Bilderberg people, Martin Taylor, for example. Interestingly enough, I just got a profile of Martin Taylor. He's the ex-head of Barclays Bank, now running several companies in Britain. And it turns out that he also has a non-executive directorship of quite a nasty-looking genetics company, which is doing personalised medicine. So basically they take your blood, they examine your genes, pull your genes apart, decide what they think's wrong, and design a special, very expensive pill for you to take that's going to cure you. You know, these are the kind of things, the business interests that they're into. And we were joking, saying, well, hang on a minute, how about the if your Norwegian newspaper does a weekly column checking the Bilderberg stock so they can follow what the Bilderbergs are investing in and sort of hopefully get a better return.
It's amazing. And you take all these powerful people, duchesses and dukes and kings and queens and bankers and presidents and prime ministers and defense secretaries, and you put them all together, combining their power. It's just incredible. And, of course, they all scratch each other's backs and are bringing us this world government. That's obvious that they promote globalism and getting rid of our national sovereignty. But, unfortunately, the mainstream talk show hosts out there like Neil Bortz and others don't talk about these subjects. It's all left-wing, right-wing, when both the left and the right are controlled by these same organizations, these same people.
Well, it's also interesting that some of the journalists are left-wing journalists and some are right-wing journalists, and yet we all seem to be quite happily able to get along fine and share information, because we find that although, you know, maybe we're taking a left-wing and a right or a right-wing slant on events, if you want to use those terms, that none of us are extremists, and we're just there to do our job. And so the fact that we've got certain expertises from the right and certain other ones from the left. And, you know, people often quote me as an expert on Bilderberg, but I'm not really. You know, this is a kind of hobby that went wrong, you know.
Absolutely. Listen, I gotta let you go.
Yeah.
Tony Gosling, I really appreciate you coming on the show. We'll talk to you in the future.
Okay, nice one, Alex.
Take care, sir. I really do appreciate you joining us on the show today. We'll be back, folks. Got a lot of other news and information to cover here on the show. I'm Alex Jones, your host. And, again, the websites are InfoWars.com, InfoWars.net, and PrisonPlanet.com. Stay with us.